And welcome to Mercenary Musings Radio, an exclusive audio service presenting views and insight from the mercenary geologist Mickey Fulp. Mickey, you've thrown us a bit of a curveball in our last show of the PDAC convention in Toronto. You told listeners that this time out we would be focusing on uranium. Instead, we've opted for rare earth elements. What's up?
Well, not that the fundamentals of the uranium market are not going to be interesting to our listeners, but in the rare earth element sector right now, there's some pending catalysts that I think could spur the equity market. So I consider the timing of getting this out to our listeners is crucial.
Okay, and I'm reading the newspapers over the weekend. I believe one of those catalysts that you're referring to is a bill that has been proposed before the U.S. Congress. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I believe that bill takes aim at what I assume is a shortage, or perhaps what the politicians fear, of a shortage down the road of rare earths in the United States. Tell us about this bill. What is in this proposal?
Well, it does exactly that. It's called the Rare Earth Supply Chain Technology and Resource Transformation Act. It's obvious it was done by a bunch of scientists with that wordiness, but it's a lobbying organization that has been promulgating the idea that we have severe supply chain problems in North America. They've gotten the sponsor of this bill is a guy named Representative Mike Kaufman. He's an ex-Marine captain, served in Iraq, and so he's probably dealt with some of the high-tech applications of these metals. And it was introduced into the Congress in mid last week.
Okay, are they calling for the creation of rare earth stockpiles or anything like that? What are some of the proposed solutions to the problems that the politicians are considering?
Well, there's going to be some studies done to identify the exact areas that are problems in the supply chain, and there are many, and studies to determine if we need a strategic mineral stockpile. I think everybody's confident that the conclusions will be that we do need a stockpile of these things.
Okay, and of course the backdrop to this for listeners perhaps not totally familiar with the rare earth story, this is a story that's really dominated by China. China controls, 85% or so of the world supply? Is that right, Mickey?
Well, you'll hear everything from 85 to 97%. Mm-hmm. I'm probably the guy talking 85 because I know of a couple of areas, one in Russia and then a Molycorp's production in California, not included in those numbers. But yes, the Chinese control production. Not only that, but they control processing and manufacturing too. And in North America, although we have the ability to develop mines in the midterm here, the real critical parts of it are going to be the mine to market, the downstream uses or processes.
Okay, well, obviously the fact that China is in control of this situation right now puts more than a few people at unease. You mentioned Molycorp, though. I understand there's talk that Molycorp, which has the Mountain Pass, California rare earth mine, I believe it's the only one in North America, but I'm hearing that Molycorp could have an initial public offering coming up very soon, perhaps by summer. Are you hearing that too?
I'm hearing exactly that. The Molycorp IPO, according to sources, and these are confirmed sources, is going to happen in the next 2 or 3 months, late spring, early summer. I don't know if listeners are aware, but if they are, it's still worth reiterating that Goldman Sachs is an original minority partner in Molycorp LLC and will be leading this financing. We expect the IPO financing to be somewhere on the order of $750 million to $1 billion. So you're probably going to look at an initial market cap of about double that. Mm-hmm. And on the New York Stock Exchange, I mean, at this point, the rare earth element sector all of a sudden is playing with the big boys. It's just been a bunch of small companies before.
Yeah, a bunch of small companies, and included in that bunch of small companies, a fair number of them relatively unknown. But when a name like Molycorp comes up with an IPO, what's that going to do for turning investor interest onto this sector? I would imagine that it's going to get a story that it's going to reach a much wider audience than it ever has before.
Well, I think it certainly will, and you know, it's going to bring it to the attention of mainstream American investors, and we don't have that market right now. It's been all the companies in North America are listed on the Toronto Venture or the Toronto Stock Exchange, so you get limited media attention of those companies in the U.S. You know, I think we're going to be starting to see this hit the mainstream with CNBC and Bloomberg and Fox Business TV, in addition to the great job that the Business News Network does up in Toronto.
Okay, Molycorp aside, we mentioned that, you know, there are a lot of very aggressive, active juniors focusing on rare earths. Tell us, Mickey, about your involvement, though, in this area of the mining world as an analyst and both and as a geologist. How are you viewing valuations in this sector of the market? What advice can you offer investors?
Well, I can tell you right now that there's 75 companies listed on the Venture and Toronto exchanges that have made some claim to have rare earths. I've looked at this list, added a few of my own. Of those 75, I consider only 12 of those to have a project that has any chance at all of being real, of any chance of succeeding. And I think I'm being generous with those 12. If you really look at the companies that are early in, which is going to be important in this sector, with deposits that could possibly be economic, I think that maybe half of those will succeed. So if you look at it, you're and ultimately succeed, I would say, being right, either making a mine or selling the deposit to a bigger company, et cetera. So we're looking at, what, 8% of the entire market that I would consider legitimate.
Okay. And how long have you as a geologist been focusing on this? What kind of brought you into this area of mining?
I first got involved with this, believe it or not, Rob, when I was an undergraduate, because these are very unusual igneous rocks, so-called peralkaline rocks. They attract attention of geologists. They behave very well according to the theories of geology, so that is another attractiveness to geologists. I first took a look at a place in Arkansas called Magnet Cove when I was an undergraduate, and it really piqued my interest. Some of our listeners will probably be aware this is a part of the world where the famous diamond pipe at Murfreesboro occurs, where you can actually go and prospect for diamonds in a state park. I first got involved as an analyst in this sector. I was hired by some private investors in June of 2007 to evaluate a company that specialized in strategic or rare metals. And I went and looked at their hard rock lithium play in Northwest Ontario, not very interested in that. But at that point, talking with the CEO, I realized that their real flagship property was a rare earth property. And it's I followed the sector ever since.
Okay, and despite the name, rare earth elements, they're not really that rare, are they? At least what's rare about them is finding them, I guess, in a concentration that makes it viable to mine them. Is that correct?
That is actually exactly correct. In fact, cerium, the most abundant one, is more abundant on the planet than copper is. And until last year or so, how many people had ever heard of the element cerium?
Okay, well, let's wrap it up on that note. Mickey, 2 weeks from now, we promise we will take a look at uranium, right?
I promise, unless I change my mind before.
You promise unless you change your mind. Good way to wrap it up. Thanks very much, Mickey. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Thanks a lot, Rob.
And that's Mickey Fult, the mercenary geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.